Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here's the host of The Pleasure Zone, sensual movement artist, relationship and sex alchemist, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we're having a conversation that I think a lot of people maybe have never had, or maybe they just need the questions. I don't know. But I know that this has come up several times with several people who have contacted me, so I wanted to dedicate a show to you guys so that you can use this information. You know, you can use these questions. You know, listen to the show, listen to it again, and then the questions that I'm putting out there for you to evaluate, you know, actually write them down, use them, and then go through them, right? Like, give yourself some answers. And if you don't know how to figure out the answers or the information and you need somebody to go through that with, feel free to connect with me. I offer people 30 minutes of my time, one time only, as a gift. And after that, the time is paid for. And I'm only offering that till the end of December 2024. So if you're listening to this after December 2024, I offered this for 10 years. If you didn't choose it before this, I'm sorry you missed out. But you can still book appointments with me. All righty. Today we're looking at evaluating what works for you in relationships. And a lot of what we often think about in relationships is the other person, but we are going to be looking at ourselves first. And, you know, I wonder too, if you've ever had relationships that just totally didn't work for you, and you just wonder, like, why do I keep on getting in relationships that don't work for me? There may be aspects that work for you. There may be none of it that works for you, and you don't know how you keep landing in these situations that don't work for you, not really knowing how to get out, not even knowing how you got in. You may have had a few or no relationships at all that were like romantic relationships, and you might not really know how to even get started. And that can be some tricky questions, especially, you know, as you get older and there's sort of an expectation of what, you know, what your experience should be. So how do you have relationships when you're older if you didn't have any when you were younger? We're going to look at some of that. We're going to evaluate what works or doesn't work in relationships for you personally, because the thing is that you could look at all the advice from Chatelaine and, you know, all those. I don't even know if that exists anymore, but like all the magazines that used to have all the relationship questions, you could look at them all. And you could evaluate your relationship and decide that your relationship stinks or is fantastic or whatever. But all that evaluation is based on other people's opinions on what works. So figuring out for you what works personally is going to be very different than what works for other people. So what I know is that this takes a lot of, I guess you could say, coming to your truth moments, right? So you really got to be honest with yourself when it comes to some of these relationship traits, things that you would like in relationships, qualities and a person, morality, different things that you are curious about as well, like things that you'd like to try in the world. So we're going to break it down. We're going to start really, really simple. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Milica Jelinic, and I have been working with couples for over 10 years, working with them to strengthen their relationships, to increase their pleasure through sex and intimacy coaching, as well as working with individuals and on that as well, but also working with people through holistic health as a holistic health practitioner through my holistic health practice. So when I look at relationships, I don't just look at them as something that's like an extension to you. I look at also how they are affecting you both mentally, physically, and emotionally. So I do have a little bit of a different maybe take on when you're evaluating relationships, what should you be looking at? So the number one thing to consider, if you have had many relationships that just didn't work for you, the first thing that we want to do is find out what that trend is. Like, and how do you find out what that trend is? So if you've had 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 27 or 92 relationships, that when I say relationships, I'm talking something that had an impact on you that would have been, you know, even if it was like a really intense weekend, it had an impact on you and you might have discovered a lot about the person or about yourself through the relationship. As long as there was some self-awareness, discovery, connection going on, then we can utilize those relationships as ways for finding out more information about what works for you, what doesn't work for you. One of the things you can do just for fun or as a visual is you can visually, you can draw like a tree. So you can do this on a whiteboard or a giant piece of paper if you have a lot of people you need to put on it. But you can draw a tree and you can add a bunch of branches to represent the different relationships that you've had. And, you know, you can put balls on those branches so that, you know, it looks like you're filling in a tree. And within those bubble balls, you can start to write down. So each bubble or ball on that tree, you'll write down the name of the person. And then under that, you can write down the qualities that you liked and the qualities you didn't like. So whether it had to do with things the way they treated you or their morality or their politics, those are things maybe you liked or didn't like. Get really clear on the things you liked, things you didn't like for the first person. And then you're going to do the same with all of the people. So if you've only had one relationship, you're going to use it for that main relationship. If you've had, say, 5 or 6 long-term relationships that, you know, impacted you in your life, then you want to do that for all 6 of those. And you want to get really clear on what are the qualities that you really liked and the qualities you really didn't like. And the thing about this as a visual is that when you step back and you look at this, what you'll probably start to notice in those qualities is that there are qualities that you liked that are probably repeated, and the qualities that you didn't like are probably also repeated. Now, the trick is to start to ask yourself, of the qualities that you do like in other people in your relationship, how many of those are qualities that people say you have, or that you would say that upon self-evaluation that you would say that you possess as well? Say it's sense of humor, kindness, generosity, and you can also get into details on that. Absolutely get into details to give yourself more information on that. The reason I say that is we want as many details as possible to get an underlying energy of the energies that you are attracted to. And the more information you have, it's like the more colors and vibrancy and different things there are that paint the picture so that you can see it more clearly. So we want those details so you can help paint the picture more clearly of the energy of the person that you would like to be with. And those qualities, you know, when I said get some details down, like write down the person has a sense of humor. Well, my sense of humor and your sense of humor may be very different. So, you know, I love watching British comedy and I could watch Monty Python all day, any day. And I could watch humor like that all the time. But that isn't humor to everyone, right? So being clear on what you find funny and what gets you going is really good to know. Because when you go vague into things like, I like somebody with a sense of humor, okay, what does that mean to you? What is sense of humor to you? Because somebody could then end up laughing at something you did, but you'll take it offensively because you don't have the same sense of humor. Some people absolutely love like physical comedy where somebody trips and falls and hits their head. They find it hilarious. I'm just like, that gets boring to me. It's like so dull. It's like there's no thought required. So that kind of humor bores me. I like humor that requires thinking and there's nuances and there's many layers to it. I love that. So be really clear on what that is. So I bring up sense of humor because that's one that a lot of people mention. Like, I want somebody with a sense of humor. Sure, you probably ended up in relationships with people with sense of humor, but not the sense of humor that you like. And if you don't know what kind of sense of humor it is that you like, then start to do a self-evaluation of, hey, what did I just laugh at? Oh, I just laughed at a super racist joke. Oh, okay. So that means I like racist jokes. I personally don't like racist jokes, but I'm giving that example because I witnessed that the other day. And so if that's what you're into, then that's just what you're into. It doesn't make you a bad person or a good person. It's just what you're into, but then you're not going to want to be in a relationship with somebody who finds that offensive or rude or like unintelligent. You want to be in a relationship with somebody who is going to be equally laughing with you, that you can tell jokes to, that they get it, that you're both laughing, right? And I think that can be a really great foundation in a relationship. Well, there's many great foundations, but if you have certain things that you can go back to, where you can laugh at, or that you have belief systems, core belief systems that you can rely on to help you get through, which we did a show about that about 2 months ago on what the center of your relationship is. What do you center your relationship around? And centering it around something that is sustainable is important. So also things like vague comments, like I want somebody who's kind. Okay, well, what are some examples? So everything you write down under those relationships, when you're doing your relationship evaluation, and you might have an example, you might be like, oh, that guy was really funny. That woman was really sexy. That person was really great at oral sex. Like, that was awesome. You might have those qualities of things you liked, things you didn't like. And you can get specific about what it was that you liked. So we're bringing up those energies so that your body has a remembering of those vibrant vibrations, those frequencies, those oscillations that are going on in your energy systems. And then as those come up and you start to oscillate at those different frequencies, I guess, as those energies are kind of coming off of you, and those memories come up, you will like wake up a part of you that then gives off an aura or an energy that people will become aware of, that they will resonate with, and they'll pick it up and they'll go, oh, you like that kind of humor. Oh, you like that. And so this works not just for like attracting people that you would like as a lover, but it can also work to attract friends. And you don't have to have the same sense of humor as your friends. In fact, I don't have the same sense of humor as a lot of my friends. And then sometimes we can laugh at the same things, but we don't always. So what are some of those things that you would say, there's morality. I want somebody who's got good morals. Write down what does that mean to you? What do good morals mean to you? And then as you look at these things, like good morals, I want somebody who's honest. Well, what does that mean to you? Do you truly want somebody who's honest, who's going to say to you, oh, you know what I did yesterday? I got drunk and grabbed somebody's butt. And if you're cool with that and you like that level of honesty, then Awesome. And if it really bothers you, that level of honesty, then you can say you like somebody who's discerning about what they share, right? Which is different than honesty. Honesty is generally like full out, here's all of it. Or somebody can be discerning about what they share. So it's important to know what those things are so that when you are evaluating either a relationship you're in or in a relationship that you'd like to be in, whether there's a harmonic there. Do these energies match? Do these frequencies come together and do they complement each other? Because sometimes they don't, and then the harmonics are off and it's messy. So we're going to talk about more ways to do self-evaluation, evaluation of relationships, how that can benefit you when you're looking for relationships, especially new ones, and then some tips and tools on how to move forward. So you're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email. info@MilicaJelinich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we're talking about relationships and some of the key things to investigate in yourself in relationships in order to have and attract relationships that you would like. So we are evaluating what works for you in relationships. So that's for you. That doesn't mean it's for me. So what are we doing? We are, in the last segment, we did an overview to look at all the relationships, get a visual of drawing a tree, and then you can place your, like spheres or balls at the end of the branches to represent each person that was a significant relationship to you as a partnership. And if you haven't had one, then we'll talk about some other things on that front after. So then you're going to write down their name, the qualities that you like and the qualities you didn't like in the relationship, and definitely get into detail is what I had mentioned before. So you want to get into those details because they're going to assist you in getting that overall picture of the different qualities that you like. And also doing an evaluation of those qualities to see, are those things that you like, things that you actively do in your life and be in your life, are they things that you're working on being and doing in your life? For example, kindness. And then maybe your kindness might be somebody who does charity work, who loves animals, who is kind to animals, who, does something for the community. And you might have a list, right? Well, kindness to somebody else might be somebody who brings you coffee in the morning and rubs your feet and is sympathetic to your needs and understands your love languages and is able and willing to provide you with those. So, right, get in those details. What do those words mean? Those words can be very general. And when people say, I just want somebody who's really nice, whoa, that is so vast that I have no information. And that's like saying to the universe, I'm just going to order stuff. Okay, stuff is really incredibly vague. That is really hard to put the gears and cogs into place. But if you have some energies and nuances and flavor and colorings and like descriptions, this can be really helpful in collaborating with the universe on bringing in the relationship you would like. It's also great because you can collaborate with, you know, people in bodies too. Having these descriptions, if you ever chose to go out and use a dating site or, you know, any of the apps, or if you were going to use a matchmaker, or even just telling people about who you're looking for. Do you know how much easier it is when somebody gives you massive amounts of information about who they're looking for in order for you to go out and be able to match them with somebody else? Because then you can see whether those qualities will meet what they're looking for. And sometimes there's just an energy that it matches and they don't even realize it. And that'll help too. I'm not a matchmaker, but there are lots of times where I've thought, wow, if you just knew what you'd wanted, it'd be so much easier for me to like help to introduce you to people if you could just let me know what qualities you like. Be specific. It's really helpful. What does kindness mean? What does nice person mean? I just don't want somebody who's nice. Oh, I'll just take anybody. Oh, no. Okay, there's another one. I'll just, oh, anybody. I just don't want to be alone. Okay, well, taking anybody because you just don't want to be alone is going to land you with a whole pile of asshole. Because you know what? You're just going to take anybody. There's no clarity and there's no boundaries and there's nothing for you to define what you feel like you deserve or even what you like. You don't even know what you like. And if you don't know what you like, you got to figure that out first. That doesn't mean you got to go on a million dates to figure that out. No, especially if that's not in your character to want to do that. What you can do is, in the case of not having any relationships in the past, to be able to navigate like some qualities that you like or don't like. If you've never had a relationship, what you can do is observe other relationships and then do a similar thing, not necessarily a tree of your own, but you can write down a list of qualities you've observed in a relationship that you like, things that you like when you see somebody doing A, B, C, or D in a relationship, you really admire that and you would like that. And things you really don't like in a relationship, A, B, C, or D of things you don't like in a relationship. And then maybe you have column C where there's things that you aren't sure, but you might be willing to negotiate. So observing, well, where do you go to observe? That's like, oh, but I'm like stuck at home and I don't go and I don't socialize. The thing is, you observe all the time. You're maybe watching YouTube videos, you might be watching TV, you might be reading books. All of those things can be used for you for observation. Yeah, even books. You can observe character development in books and you can observe what characters do and how they act. And you can notice what some of the personality traits are, even what their humor is or some of their decisions. You can kind of tell what their morality is. So you can get a pretty good picture, description of the qualities that you like, even if you've never actually gone even on one date. But you can start to get an idea of what you like. You might have this like super vagueness, which then will, you know, have you go out and get, you know, maybe a little weird with people because you're not really sure how to socialize. Because when you don't really know what you like, people feel it and then they get uncomfortable and they're like, I don't know what you want from me. So in order to get some comfort going, the more comfortable you are with knowing what you like and the more comfortable you are with seeing whether you are those qualities and energies yourself, then, and the more you develop those in yourself, the more you can walk out in the world and be very confident to say, I'm really interested in somebody who is not only well-educated, but can carry a conversation about, you know, 14th century architecture in England. That I really enjoy a conversation on. I would really also like I could get really specific. And I also really love somebody who has a sense of humor, who could simultaneously laugh at something that is got nuances from so many different, you know, and so many different nuances and different layers of humor. That I like too, whether it's silly humor, but it also has a nuance of making fun of something the way like Monty Python does. It's like it looks silly, but there's actually so much intelligence behind it. That's fun, right? So you can observe these things in people. And you might have heard me tell stories on this show, and you might have went, wow, I wish I had, like, maybe you're like, maybe I wish I had a lover like that woman. Cool, but you're probably not going to have a lover like me, but you might have qualities that you see in me. Maybe there are qualities like you know, I have a lot of people say to me, you're so open and so free with sex. I'm absolutely open and free with conversation with sex, but I certainly am not, I'm not having sex with the entire planet, that's for sure. Well, energetically maybe, but not physically. So it's more like being really, really clear on those qualities that you like, and are you actually embodying them? And how do you start to do that? So I know you probably were expecting me to say, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get yourself out there and you're going to go to your local grocery store and you're just going to chat it up with anybody. No, because people are freaking scared these days and the chances of chatting it up with anybody in the grocery store is slim. Although I do chat it up with random people if I either bump into them, overhear a conversation, if somebody's like having a hard time reaching something off of a high shelf because like I'm 5'11 on a short day and 6 feet tall on a tall day. And sometimes I'm like having conversations with people about things I'm getting off of shelves for them or opening doors, or, you know, there's ways to meet people. That doesn't mean you're going to marry them. But those little steps of learning how to even just have small conversations, if you've never dated before, learning how to have small conversations that just break the ice, just open the door and break the ice. So learning how to also do that and not necessarily scare people by asking things like, would you like some help with that, is certainly much easier than, you know, walking in to some random person going, hi, how's your day? How are you feeling? And like, you don't know them, so you don't even know why they're asking you that. So that happens at our local grocery store, which is fine because I see the ladies a lot. They're like, how are you today? And I'm like, that's cool that I know you guys now, but like 17 years ago when you used to ask me that, wasn't it weird? Like, you don't know me, and do you really give a toot how I am? No, but you've been trained to ask that, you know, small talk questions, which I think would be so much funnier if we had more people, you know, who are autistic working, or in any spectrum, neurodivergence, working behind the tills, and they would just bring up like deep conversations. And I've run into a few, which is so fun and great, like people who will go, oh wow, this thing that you just picked out, I've been thinking about this, I saw a recipe about this, have you tried this before, is what do you think of this? That to me is hilarious and great. Like, you're absolutely engaging and you're so specific about some niche thing that you just saw on like Pinterest, and you're like, hey, that watermelon you bought, have you ever made like a watermelon basket with like blah, blah, blah from the 70s? I'll be like, heck yeah. born and raised in the 70s with watermelon baskets, like those kinds of conversations can be really fun. So those can be great openers if you have never dated and you're not really sure how to have a conversation. Just have some fun conversations about things that you observe. And so this is really more of a full dive into observation, observing yourself, observing others, and then using that as kind of like an entree to be able to have conversation. So we are going to talk about, we kind of talked in that last segment about what do you do if you've never had a relationship, observe other relationships and qualities that you like in them, whether they're TV characters, in shows, movies, anything like that. Write down the qualities that you like. What interests you? What are the trends in all of the shows that you like? What are some of the characters' qualities, your favorite characters? What are some of their qualities? And then again, look back and ask yourself, am I like that? Like, do I have those qualities? Are those qualities that I find admirable? And are they qualities that if I were to embrace those parts of myself, enhance those parts of myself, would that be something that if I'm attracted to it, maybe other people that are attracted to those qualities that have those qualities would be attracted to me, right? So sometimes self-development can be really key in bringing in relationships. So that's something to consider. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about if you've only had like that one relationship and it kind of after that, you might have gotten frozen or stuck and like what to do there. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and I'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Interested in masturbating for money, copulating for consciousness, and pleasuring on purpose? 21 Days of Sexual Magicism with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic is an exploration of tools, processes, and actions that you can use to create more for your life, your body, your money inflows, and so much more. Graduated learning for all levels of interest. Learn at your own pace via video classes or join the yearly live class. Take a peek at www.MilicaJelinic.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So today we're talking about evaluating what works for you in relationships. I've thrown out some tools for you They are kind of like a form of questions to self-evaluation, evaluation of relationships. And then also, if you've never had a relationship, what can you observe if you've never had one that was significant or meaningful to you? And then the other one is if you've had one and it's been really significant to you, but you haven't had, maybe you got stumped by that relationship. Maybe you were like 18 when you met the person and now you're like 78 and you've been together for 60 years. And, you know, a partner dies and then you go back in the dating world and you really are lost. Like you really don't know what to do or how to move forward. So how do you look at relationships and what you might like now and what you might not have even realized, especially if there's only been one relationship that you can kind of look at as your overall? Well, you can do a lot of the similar things that you did in the first one, which is look at some of the, I would say that if you were with somebody long term, you know, even a year, between a year and, you know, 60 to 75 years or more, then look at some of the favorite memories you have. What are some of the things that you and your partner did together that every once in a while you'd look back on and it would help you realize and remember what helped you bond? So some of those things is sometimes when you've been in a relationship a really long time and the relationship just worked for you, or there was, you know, there was like a lot of love, but then the partner's gone and you're not really sure how to move forward, then just look at the memories of what really did work for you. It's not about recreating them, but it's more about looking at what was it that you loved. You know, maybe it was a silly incident. Maybe you were on like a family trip and somebody, well, there's a family memory, not for me, but for my mom and her brothers and my grandpa and grandma, where my grandpa was highly stressed. He was a doctor and he was working crazy hours and night shifts. And every once in a while he would get into like night terrors where he thought he had to rescue people from drowning, that were drowning on boats, and the boats were going down and he would go mental in the middle of the night trying to rescue people while he was asleep. So those are kind of like weird, wacky, wild memories, but it speaks volumes to my grandpa's character. Like even in his sleep, he was rescuing people and concerned about the welfare of others. So even though that memory is weird and is like talked about family members, like still my grandpa passed away 5 or 6 years ago, but still it's discussed. And that memory speaks volumes about who he is and what his character was. So you're going to start to see characteristics in the memories, characteristics of the person and what they meant to you and how you felt about them. And those are probably qualities you really admired and loved, and maybe are qualities that you would really like in somebody moving forward. And sometimes those qualities outweigh all the other poop, if there was other poop, but you know, the good memories seem to outweigh all the rest. And it can be difficult, but also I'd encourage you to look at some of the things that did not work for you in that relationship. Like maybe they weren't present as much as you would have liked them to be, because maybe they were preoccupied with their work or their whatever it happened to be. So you can look at all the things that didn't work for you. Definitely when you've had one relationship, whether it was that, you know, for a year or 75 years, then what I've noticed is there's a tendency to have attached to that person like they were the one and only, and the only one ever, and kind of the they were the one. That's kind of an energy that comes out with that, and oftentimes there is this frozen or stuckness that shows up because the person has decided there could never be another one like them, and there can't be. So now it's a matter of finding those qualities that are admirable, and those qualities will be found in other people. They're not going to be exactly the same because they'll be in somebody else's body and experiences, but you can find those similar qualities in somebody else if that's what you're looking for, right? So this is really for people who are looking for a relationship and would like to be in one and not really knowing how to do that. So that one situation can be a bit tough. Even the energy of it feels really different than if you've had 10 or 15 relationships that you can do comparisons with, or even none, feels a little bit lighter. But sometimes having that one, whether you had that one when you were young, had that one when you were maybe older, or had that one for your whole lifetime. Yeah, it can be a little bit disheartening and sad when that person's gone, whether it's through separation or through death. Death is probably sometimes easier in that case, but being able to see all of the things that you really enjoyed. So, what are some of those top questions that you can ask in relationship when you are, starting to look for somebody? What are the things to ask yourself? Well, one of the ones I would suggest is to find out, do like some morality checks. How do you feel about certain things that are in the news, for example, right? So there are always morality checks all around us constantly. So whether it's things we see in the news or people's behavior. And this isn't about judging them. It's about evaluating what your stance is on something and going, oh, okay, well, that's a behavior that I wouldn't choose to either be around or do. And then you got to ask yourself too, like, have I ever done that? And yeah, probably I have. I don't like that I've done that. And then you can see how as you start to get into asking some of these questions about yourself, you start to know who you are, and then it's a lot easier for somebody else to relate to you. So without knowing who you are, and yes, the you can change and grow all the time, but at that moment, knowing who you are and what you stand for and what gets you ticking, what gets you going, all of that can be really helpful in assisting you to actually have communication with somebody else to teach them about you, because that's all we pretty much ever do in relationships is teach people about us and how to treat us. So if you are, not learning about your partner, lover, or whatever spouse in relationship, then there's something stagnant that's happening because there's always some learning to be had, and there's always some relating or some, and the growth, then there's new learning to be had. If you've got insights, if you feel different about things, if you've changed your opinion or your heart on something, then there's new things to learn about your partner. Hopefully they grow and change too. So how do you evaluate morality? I think that one's a good one to know about in relationship for sure, because a lot of people will get mad like, so and so cheated on me. Well, before you got together, did you discuss morality? And did you discuss what your thoughts on is it moral to have many lovers? So there are lots of people who are polyamorous and 100%, and they have polycules, and they absolutely feel that the morality of multiple people in relationships makes total sense, that that's a more moral choice than putting all the stress onto one person, that is less moral. Like, those are not in line with their morals, right? So that's where knowing what yours are, not what the right ones are, not what the good ones are, but what's your stance, what's your take on things. And you might not have an opinion on anything, which then makes it a little bit hard to relate for people as well. It's like, oh, I don't care. What about you? I don't care. What about you? Well, that is really hard to have a relationship with because you don't really know where to go from there, right? Those relationships require the person to grow more on their own before they should be in a relationship, because they don't know really anything about themselves or how they feel. Or learning feeling words is really important too for relationships. You can find charts all over Google about feeling words, expressions about how your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, how you can describe them. Instead of saying, oh, I'm mad, well, there might not be that. You might have frustration going on, not really anger, but if you don't use that word a lot in your vocabulary, then you might not think of it that way. So you might simplify it to angry. So I'd encourage you to go find some charts with different language and wording that has to do with definitely feeling words so that you have a lot more to tap into and relate to and use in your conversation when you discuss things about how you feel about different things in the world, whether it's, political stuff going on, whether, there's environmental things going on, whether it's just having fun one day and you want to try and describe that better. Feeling words are great. A lot of people have very limited feeling words. I also have a very limited vocabulary on feeling words, but it's a lot bigger than it used to be. But I certainly know there's room to grow and learn way more words to do with feelings and emotions. And I actually do have charts that I look at so that I can, gauge like what is that? Where am I at? And sometimes having those charts is like an eye opener, and I go, oh, that's actually what matches what's going on with me. I thought it was this, but it's actually something else. So having those emotion charts can be so helpful. All right, we're gonna return to this episode all about evaluating relationships, and feelings are part of those. So that's a helpful resource to go look for. You are listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You could also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So there's a really good chart that I was just looking up while we were on break. So I was listening. You guys probably just in that last section heard me talking about learning about your feelings, like words to describe your feelings can be really helpful also in doing evaluations of your relationships so that you are using words that match what's going on. And there is one that I just found on Amazon, but I'm sure that there are some free ones out there. This one is called a Feelings Emotion Therapy Counseling Chart. It's called a VROCUSE Feelings Wheel. So VROCUSE Feelings Wheel. What's really cool about this feelings wheel is that it has in the center, six basic emotions: fear, anger, disgust, surprise, happy, and sad. And so under the anger section, there's another layer to it, which is like hurt, threatened, hateful, mad, aggressive, frustrated, distant, and critical. And then the next segment on top of that is even more information. So like under hurt, you might be feeling embarrassed or devastated. Under threatened, you might feel insecure or jealous. Under hateful, you might feel resentful or violated. Under mad, you might feel furious or enraged. And it goes on. The chart's vast. So there are like 96 different things, or well over 96 different things that you can look at. Very, very cool chart. So those are helpful. And there's different variations on those as well. Just something that you can get a chart so you can use as reference to be able to describe like this action by so and so made me feel this way. And then it helps you to evaluate too your reactions, how you feel, what works for you. I mean, simplify it, what works for you, what doesn't work for you, that you can really get like, oh, you know, when so-and-so did this in a relationship, I felt really resentful. So that doesn't work for me. And so adding some words to that to help you understand how you felt, why you felt that way, like where was it coming from, can be incredibly helpful. So once you figure all this stuff out, there's a lot of work, right? Working on it for a lifetime. I guarantee you this is like a lifetime of work because we're always changing and growing. So it's not like you're going to get perfect at it. And it's not like I'm asking you to get perfect at it. So work on yourself, work on figuring out what you like. And then going out to the world, and then what do? You're walking around with confidence, knowing who you are, being able to introduce yourself to people, being able to even take the risk and ask somebody out and not take it personally if they say no, being willing to have somebody ask you out and be able to say yes or no and not feel guilty about saying no or not feeling like, you know, self-righteous when they say yes, just being able to receive it is lovely. So a lot of the resources I wanted to give you today do have to do with self-evaluation. And I know that some of you are like, just tell me how to get a date. And believe it or not, I actually am. Through all this self-investigation, self-evaluation, figuring out what actually does work for you and knowing how tolerant are you? Like, are you going to put up with something forever? Or are you going to say, no, this is it. I'm not going to tolerate this behavior. So you might leave a relationship. You might look at your charts of all these different things that their qualities that you didn't like. And maybe you're like, yeah, those are qualities that are a no-go. Those are deal breakers. If somebody has those qualities, I'm out. Then you have to have the courage and the self-love enough to be able to walk away from the relationships that don't work for you. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself is that when you find, if you've been in something that's repeatedly not working for you, that you have the courage to walk away for you. And then, but do the self-evaluate, do the evaluation of the relationships, because sometimes there may be more qualities that are working for you than against you. And I like to go with like an 80-20 split. If 80% of it's working, you know, 80% of the time, that's a heck of a lot. That's a heck of a lot better than what most people have. So, you know, 80%, I like in my relationship, I would say 95% of things work 95% of the time, which is pretty phenomenal. I'm not saying it's 100, and I would certainly hope my husband wouldn't say that it's 100 either, because there's always room for improvement. So, and being honest about how and what works and then what needs improvement. And sometimes it's not your partner changing. Sometimes it's you just changing your outlook, or, you know, if something's bothering you, is it like, is it the end of the world? Is it truly the end of the world for you? Like, is it something that you're going to stop talking to somebody for 5 days about because you're so mad that they used like a certain word or something that just pissed you off so hard that you're like, I'm not talking to you. Okay. If that word is more important than yourself, your happiness and your partner and that, whatever that happens to be, then you got to figure that out. So self-evaluation, super important. Why do we do these things? Because every once in a while, putting yourself into check and checking out what's really going on will help you know where there's room for you to grow, where maybe there's past traumas that need to be healed, where maybe you have something that's, it's been a repeated pattern that needs to be changed. All self-evaluation can do is help you become a greater, better person. It's not about pointing out things in other people to make them feel bad. It's about looking at yourself, and it's not about making yourself feel bad. It's looking for what can I utilize here that's going to help me grow as a person, help me grow in relationships, help all of us be happier, all of that, right? And we all deserve that. So if you have any issues with figuring any of that out and you would like me to go through a chart with you and figure that out, connect with me.
Thank you for listening to The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. The Pleasure Zone returns next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.